all about what you stepped. You want to start an earthquake? Aren't we there yet? You nearly stepped on that blacksmith shop.
Here we are.
Two more steps and we'd need passports.
Gulliver. Oh, Gulliver.
The Man Mountain.
Hello, Your Majesties. May I pick you up?
Of course.
Oh, hurry, Gulliver.
There now. Princess Glory, don't hide behind my lapel. Let me look at you. My, you're lovelier than ever. And you, Prince David, I'll never forget how you saved my life.
Why, if it hadn't have been for you, Gulliver, Glory and I might never have found happiness.
Then you have been living happily ever after?
Oh, yes, thanks to you.
Why, you're a national hero in Lilliput, you big old.
Stop swinging from my ear, Gabby. I'm a national hero?
Yes, Gabby's yes. Right.
We've been building a life-size granite monument to you, Gulliver.
Oh, really? I'd like to see that. Where is it?
Ain't finished. We ran out of granite.
You know, when that storm came up back in 1699, I didn't realize that being shipwrecked would lead to the most wonderful adventure I ever had. When I woke up...
Now wait. Let me tell it, Gulliver. You'd been washed ashore, and you were asleep down on the beach. I was making my rounds, and I was sort of singing along, you know. All well, what a rainy day. Never mind that cloud, behind that cloud you find a golden ray. All well, laugh your fears away. See the light ahead, right ahead. There's a moonlit night ahead. Everyone, come on, have fun. All well. The next thing I knew, I'd walked smack into a huge giant hand. His fingers looked like a forest. I was so scared, I made a flea line for the palace. King Little was in his throne room with Prince David's father, King Bombo. They'd just signed the marriage contract. And they were looking at a diamond almost as big as a caraway seed.
My.
Princess Glory and Prince David were sort of looking at the moon from the balcony. And then the princess began singing to the prince. It was the song we always sang in Lilliput. Precisely, Gulliver. King Little says the princess will sing that song at her wedding the next day. King Bombo says, oh, no, he says. The only music at the wedding will be the national song of Blefuscu, he says. It's called forever. I say, faithful, says King Little. Bombo, you're making a molehill out of a molecule. I say forever, Bombo roars. Faithful.
Forever.
Faithful.
Forever.
Faithful.
Forever!
Well, it went on that way until the first thing you know, the wedding is called off. And... it's war!
My.
King Bombo stalks out of the palace, leaving King Little mighty frightened.
Yes, Gabby, and leaving Prince David and Princess Glory mighty unhappy.
Yes, indeed. The princess cried herself to sleep that night. With tears as big as pinhead, last thing she heard was Prince David singing his message to her. It was a song of Blefuscu.
Forever, forever, there won't be anyone but you.
Gabby, what with King Bombo declaring war over which song to play at the wedding, and you finding me on the beach. Poor King Little certainly had his troubles that night.
Precisely, Gulliver. I yelled, "There's a giant on the beach! There's a giant on the beach! There's a giant on the beach!" Till I was purple in the face. Well, they finally heard me. That's when all us Lilliputians went down to the beach and tied you up. Oh, the way we worked, you'd have thought you were an anthill. We rigged up derricks and pulleys and windlasses. That spot is still there. It's a canal now. We call it Gulliver Gulch.
I woke up next morning in the palace courtyard. I thought somebody put rubber bands on my fingers. When I snapped them off and sat up, I saw a little man in a red robe standing on the highest tower of his castle. "Who are you?" I said. "I'm king around here," he answered. "King Little. I'm the tallest man in Lilliput." I asked him how tall that was. 1.5", he said proudly. And then he told some of you to search me for weapons.
Yes, that's when one of us fell against the trigger of your thunder machine and nearly blew the palace tower away. Oh!
Yes, my pistol. And King Little thought I was one of Bombo's spies. He told his archers to get ready to execute me. But just as they were about to try it, King Bombo attacked. Remember how Bombo's archers spelled out the word F-O-R-E-V-E-R forever down the palace wall, Gabby? To remind you what the war was all about?
Do I? It looked like a real battle for a while there.
That's when King Little asked me if I could fight. "Well, Your Majesty," I said, "I can lick anyone my size."
Yes. Believe me, it made us Lilliputians happy to know the Man Mountain was on our side. We knew Bombo wouldn't attack as long as you were around. We all danced through the streets, singing how happy we were.
Happy day.
That was fun, Gabby. But the real celebration came that night. Will you ever forget the feast we had?
Never. It was just an ordinary dining table to you, Gulliver. But it was a regular banquet hall to us Lilliputians.
And what an entertainment. Three little people called out to me that they'd sing a native folk song in my honor. But there was something besides bluebirds in the moonlight that night, Gabby. There was trouble ahead.
Yes, Gulliver. King Bombo gave his spies orders to kill you and then made ready to attack us again.
Yes, and the next thing I knew, Gabby, you were ringing the alarm bell and shouting...
Gulliver! Gulliver, where are you? Bombo's attacking. Where are you, Gulliver?
Here I am, Gabby.
Where have you been, you lazy, long-legged, overgrown lummox? I can't depend on anybody around here. Now get down there to that beach and wipe out that Bombo and that bunch of bluffaskewins. Tear them to pieces and don't leave a man alive to tell the tale. Forward march! Get going!
Aye, aye, sir. My, my.
And look out for Bombo's rocks and arrows. Come on, you Lilliputians! This is war!
Hey! Hey, wait for me! Wait for me,
Gulliver! We're all together now!
Hold on there, Bombo. We can settle this peacefully. Listen, hold your fire. Hear what I have to say. Bombo ordered your men to lay down their arms. Must I make you listen? I'll take up your anchor ropes and tow your ships ashore. Well,
I can pick up all your anchor ropes in one hand. Here's one, two, three, five, eight, ten. There we are. Look, with one hand. Now I'll pull these ships up on the beach, and we can settle this thing peacefully.
Hey, Spot, while you were tugging the ship, three of Bombo's spies had dragged your pistol to a little knoll just at your back. You didn't see them, but Prince David did. After a hard, fast ride, he arrived just in time to leap onto the pistol barrel and spoil their aim.
And Prince David's bravery saved my life. But it almost cost his own. His weight on the pistol barrel made it topple over, and poor David fell to the foot of the cliff. The crowd, King Bombo, the Princess Glory, and King Little, they were all stunned. When I picked up the prince, I could see he was only stunned, but they thought he'd been killed. So I said to them, poor, poor, foolish little people. Look what you've done. Now, go ahead, break your nutshell heads over your songs. But did you have to break Glory's heart, King Little, because you were thoughtless and selfish? And you, Bombo, mighty warrior, what have you won? Nothing. You were too stubborn to think, too busy killing, to lend an ear to the harmony that might have been yours. All you had to do was to make one beautiful song out of both your national anthems. And in your sorrow and despair, perhaps you listened to your songs as they should be sung. David and Glory, sing both your songs together.
Prince David, and for Jessica Dragonette as Princess Glory. Thank you. Believe me, ladies and gentlemen, both of us enjoyed our work in the picture. Making a full-length cartoon, and in Technicolor, is the most fascinating affair I ever saw. Because we think you might be interested in some of the facts and figures about Gulliver's travels, we have invited Dave Fleischer, associate producer and director of the picture here, to amaze you. Mr. Dave Fleischer.
Thanks, Lanny. Certainly seems natural to see you and Jessica Dragonette at the microphone all at the same time.
Yes, a lot of drawing boards and a huge room full of frantic animators, Dave. And I'll say we're back in your new studio in Miami.
Dave, take us behind the scenes, won't you? Tell us what goes into making a picture like Gulliver.
Well, first of all, there's a staff of 675 artists who are willing to work day and night for more than a year and a half on one picture. And they made 500,000 different drawings.
Why so many?
Well, you see, Lanny, it takes 24 separate drawings to produce just 1 second of action on the screen.
That's a lot of drawings.
By the time we got through, we had used 12 tons of paint, 16 tons of drawing paper, and we completely lost track of the pencils and brushes.
Well, that's really a titanic job, Dave. You should be proud of it. And you should be proud, too, of what the reviewers have said about Gulliver's Travels.
Yes, I am proud of Gulliver, Lanny, and I hope its humor and its music bring joy and entertainment to all who see it.
Thank you, Dave Fletcher. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we return you to Hollywood.
Congratulations to all of you back in New York. Now, Connie Boswell presents one of the loveliest ballads of the Christmas season that it's been my good fortune to hear. It's called When Christmas Is Gone. Connie wrote it herself, and it's swell. Now, just wait till you hear her sing it.
Now, take it easy, Edward. Can't be that good.
Oh, yes, it is.
Snook?
I want to recite a poem. It's about Christmas, and I like it.
About Christmas?
Yeah, and it's about Maxwell House Coffee, too.
All right, then. Go ahead, recite.
Last Christmas Eve, my daddy said that early I must go to bed. He said that while I was asleep, my Christmas presents in would creep. But what I could not understand is that when off in slumberland, the presents that crept in the door were the very same toys I saw up in the attic days before. I like it. I like it.
Well, wait, Snook. I thought you said your poem was about Maxwell House Coffee.
Oh, well, that's the second verse.
Well, go ahead, then. Finish it.
I can't remember it. Well, Daddy. Daddy.
Yes, Snook.
Was the night before Christmas, and all through the house was...
Was the wonderful fragrance?
A fresh Maxwell House.
Ah, thank you, Snooks. That was magnificent. And friends, right now at this joyful season, on behalf of Edward Arnold, Meredith Wilson, Connie Boswell, Snooks and Daddy, and all the members of our cast, I'd like to express our deep appreciation to all of you whose loyalty to Maxwell House has made these programs possible. We're proud to know that Maxwell House will be bringing good cheer to more families this Christmas than ever before in its history. And we hope the friendly warmth and goodness of this famous coffee will continue the holiday spirit in your home during all the days of the year to come.
No good news program would be complete without a solo meal from Lou Holtz and the rest of the company. Baby Snooks, you want to sing solo meal?
Christmas.
Now, we all love it. How about it, Lou?
Your obedient servant, Edward. For Sola Mia, that is to say, for me, Sola Mia is always a pleasure. Edward, Meredith. Please say a prayer for a very fine young man, a fellow named Joe McGurk. He was washing windows on the 42nd floor and step back to admire his work. Oh, Sola me!
Oh,
Sola! Oh, Sola you!
Oh, Sola you!
Zezuzez! Zezuzez! Zezuzu! Futudu!
Futudu!
Ha, ha, ha! Ha, ha, ha! And now we hear from Snipsy.
When I lost my dog, I was told to advertise in the papers, but I didn't take heed. I said, what's the use of advertising in the papers when the poor little doggy don't read?
Oh, soul of me!
Oh, soul of me!
Oh, soul of you!
Oh, soul of you!
Well, dig, dig, dig.
Well, dig, dig, dig.
Chop, chop, chop.
Chop, chop, chop.
Well, all right.
Well, all right.
Oh, well, hello, 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 hello. Very good. And now we hear from Eddie Arnold.
I was getting too heavy, my doctor said, ride horseback to reduce your weight. So I rode 4 weeks, gained 51 pounds, and the horse lost 108.
Kill the horse.
He nearly killed the horse.
Hello.
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 It's fun.
And now we hear from Lal Ganga. Fora dire cane nur da mis dal no. Baby snooky ookie pookie. He says a woman in India always feeds her baby garlic. She's the Rani of Marjorie. Morto il padre vitella romara cora Daniel the body Mary be the god is down. The reason she feeds the baby garlic is so she can find it in the dark. Oh, soul of me!
Oh, soul of me!
Oh, soul of you!
Oh, soul of you!
Lolly, lolly!
Lolly, lolly!
Poppy, poppy!
Poppy, poppy!
Tootie, tootie! La!
Ladies and gentlemen, in Meredith Wilson's concert hall, we have been presenting a series of modern masterpieces which Meredith has commissioned. And we had planned this evening to present a minuet by the distinguished American songwriter Harold Arlen. Mr. Arlen wrote the music for The Wizard of Oz, among many brilliant scores, and I assure you that in rehearsal his minuet has been most beautiful and impressive.
Next Thursday, you will have the pleasure of hearing Mr. Allen's minuet. Tonight, in honor of Christmas week, Meredith is going to play that great Christmas hymn, Adeste Fidelis, featuring Robert Stevens. Beautiful, Meredith. Ladies and gentlemen, that about winds us up for tonight, except that all of us wish you all a very, very Merry Christmas and hope you'll be back with us again next Thursday. Fanny Bryce and Hanley Stafford, Lou Holes, Connie Boswell, Meredith Wilson, Benny Rubin, and yours truly will all be here. And a special New Year's surprise. Good night.
Reminding you that the easy-to-follow directions for making Maxwell House coffee are printed right on the can. By following them, you are sure to get the full flavor and goodness of Maxwell House in the most economical way. And now, good night, good luck, and a Merry Christmas to each and every one of you from the makers of Maxwell House, the coffee that's now, more than ever, good to the last drop.